Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Seahenge is ready to return to Norfolk. The secret of an ancient Scottish cave is revealed in a TV series. And tools found in Minnesota may be 14,000 years old. New excavations are showing that Stonehenge did not stand alone, and new clues are found on the paths of early human migration. An ancient Altai warrior is found in the permafrost, and excavations continue at the prehistoric site of Castanheiro do Vento in Portugal. And finally, an Irish site appears on a new documentary series. Norfolk's famous Bronze Age timber circle should finally be returning to the county in the next couple of months, ready to take pride of place in a flagship exhibition. A display of part of Seahenge, which was controversially excavated from the shoreline at Holme in England in 1999, is set to be the crowning glory of a £1 million museum redevelopment at King's Lynn. The 55 oak posts and central upturned tree stump, which were all that remained of a structure built by an inland farming community in early spring or summer of 2049 BCE, have been undergoing specialist conservation at the Mary Rose Trust in Portsmouth. Although work on the giant stump, thought to be the largest piece of wood ever preserved, is expected to take several more years. The timbers themselves are now in the final stages of the process. Once the new exhibition opens in September, work will start on Seahenge Gallery, including not only a display of half the real timbers, but a full-size replica of the circle. Something that came out very strongly from the consultation was that people were quite confused by what survives. The view came back that people would welcome a full-size replica to get a feeling of what it would be like to walk inside it. By seeing the replica first, it means that when they go around and see the original timbers, they can make much better sense of what they're seeing. There are hopes that Seahenge display will be open early next year, and because of the high level of interest in the project, windows will be provided in the screens around the working area so museum visitors can take a peek inside. A Scottish cave in Morayshire was a place where, in order to show their grief, parents built the most macabre of memorials. The heads of their offspring, perished before their time, were severed and placed on poles at the entrance to the cave, which became a temple to their dead children. The secrets of the ancient cave will be revealed in a BBC Scotland television series. It suggests that around 3,000 years ago, people from across the north of Scotland, the islands, and possibly even Ireland, brought their dead children to Sculptor's Cave near Lossiemouth. Archaeologist Ian Shepherd has carried out numerous excavations in this remote cave. Uncovering skeletal parts from six children, his work brought to light skull parts in the cave's entrance, which, from the way they lay, indicated that they at one time had been fleshy heads on poles. Though, from what we can tell, these were simply people mourning their dead children. Prior to his discovery of the skull parts in 1979, a previous excavation 50 years before by classical archaeologist Sylvia Benton found thousands of bone parts, largely from juveniles. Called the Sculptor's Cave because of ancient inscriptions at the entrance, the location of the cave has been known since Victorian times, but is very remote. It can only be accessed from the land at low tide, along a mile of shingle beach, or by scaling the cliff face itself. 3,000 years ago, it might even have been an island, which would have reinforced its spiritual status. Using computer graphics, the series, called Art and Soul, will bring the cave back to life, showing the indicators of its religious significance and delving into its dark interior. And there you'll find a sacred pool strewn with Bronze Age treasures. In the depths of the cave, there's a first glimpse of a trapped pool of water, the bridge to another world perhaps, the high altar of a Bronze Age basilica. It's here that series presenter Richard Holloway connects with Scotland's sacred past. Archaeologists have discovered stone tools atop a hill in Minnesota that may be 13 to 14,000 years old. From the rough stone tools, archaeologists are speculating that they are looking at some of the relatively earliest occupants of the North American continent. Biologist and archaeologist Matt Mattson and Britta Bloomberg, Minnesota's Deputy Historic Preservation Officer, said it may be amongst the oldest known archaeological sites in the North and South America. The stone tools were found while archaeologists were investigating the path of a road where the city is planning to expand for a community centre, housing and business scheme. Archaeologists found 50 or more objects while digging through an area about 50 square metres. The artefacts ranged from large hammer stones to small handheld scrapers. The objects were found underneath a band of rock and gravel that appeared to have been deposited by melting glaciers and then covered by wind-blown sediment. Other researchers have found that part of Minnesota apparently was something of an oasis around 13,000 years ago, an area free of ice cover with shifting glaciers on most sides but with an access route to the southeast. David Mather, state archaeologist for the National Register of Historic Places, said that the site appears to be much older than the Clovis era of finely made spear points that defines a Paleo-Indian period. The find is so startling that the appropriate response from every archaeological and glacial geologist is scepticism. But a half dozen archaeologists, soil scientists and others who have examined the site all say that the artefacts are genuine. Human remains, if there were any, would long ago dissolved in the acidic soil. The oldest human remains found in Minnesota belong to the Browns Valley man who lived around 9,000 years ago. His remains were discovered in 1933 in a gravel pit near the town of Browns Valley in western Minnesota. Much more research needs to be done to allow firm conclusions, Wells and her colleagues acknowledged. Not only do the age of the items and the soil in which they were found need to be confirmed, it must also be determined whether the objects are really human-made artifacts or merely just rocks that were naturally chipped into interesting patterns by glaciers during the last ice age. And it's not yet certain if the items were left at the site by humans or carried there by glaciers or flowing water. It's certainly worth, though, pursuing the investigation. Recent excavations of Salisbury Plain in southern England have revealed at least two other large stone formations close by the world-famous prehistoric monument. One of the megalithic finds is a sandstone formation that marked a ritual burial mound, the other a group of stones at the site of an ancient timber circle. The new discoveries suggest that many similar monuments may have been erected in the shadow of Stonehenge, possibly forming part of a much larger complex. The finds were part of the Stonehenge Riverside Project, a joint initiative to explore the land around the iconic monument. Led by Mike Parker Pearson of Sheffield University, the project involves six English universities. The first monument, a 2.8-metre-long sarsen stone, was found lying in a field next to the River Avon, 3 kilometres east of Stonehenge. The large sandstone block that occur naturally in southern England had been stood upright, like the blocks that form the main structure of Stonehenge itself. A team led by Colin Richards of Manchester University and Joshua Pollard of Bristol University found the hole that originally held the stone, dug between 2,500 and 2,000 BCE, as well as human remains and artefacts that also dated to the same period. The partially cremated remains of two people were buried next to the stone. One was a large male whose unburned vertebrae suggested he was at least 6 feet tall. Seemingly, he was so big that they weren't able to cremate him properly. Stone knives and arrowheads and a piece of limestone carved into the shape of a megalith, two pottery bowls and a rare rock crystal were also unearthed near the burial site. The rock crystal find is the earliest known example from Britain and possibly came from as far away as the Alps. Pollard's team also found new evidence for stone settings at Woodhenge, a site 2 kilometres northeast of Stonehenge, where a timber circle was constructed around about 2200 BCE. Pollard said excavations in the 1920s hinted a stone monument may once have been present at the site. Last summer, though, they confirmed that there had been standing stones at Woodhenge. While only fragments of the formation were found, the holes the stones were set in suggest the block stood up to 3 metres tall. So it turns from a timber monument to being a megalithic monument, albeit not on the same scale as Stonehenge. An old South African skull and an ancient settlement along the Don River in Russia are lending crucial support to the idea that modern humans spread from Africa across Eurasia only 50,000 years ago. The only evidence of modern humans outside of Africa is a couple of sites from around 100,000 years old in Israel, which appear to have been abandoned as the Ice Age grew more severe. Genetic studies suggest that modern humans did not emerge from Africa until about 50,000 years ago. but that late date has been controversial. Now, two new studies support the genetic evidence, according to Ted Goebel of the Center for the Study for the First Americans at Texas A&M University. Originally found in a dry riverbed in 1952, the South African skull was unsuitable for radiocarbon dating. Though, using new technology, Richard Bailey and other researchers at the University of Oxford measured the amount of radiation that had been absorbed by the sand grains that had filled the brain case since its burial. So, they dated the sediment encased inside the skull to 36,000 years ago, plus or minus 3,000 years. And this says that the skull resembles the first modern humans who lived in Europe at about the same time. Citing that resemblance, the team led by Frederick Grein of Stony Brook University in New York concludes that the South African fossil and its European contemporaries shared a recent common ancestor, and that modern humans had therefore arrived in Europe not long before. The Paleolithic site in Russia is between 42 to 45,000 years old, predating early human finds in Central and Eastern Europe. The only human fossils are teeth that cannot be identified by species, but the artifacts, including possible art and shells imported from more than 500 kilometres away, look like they were made by early modern humans. The location suggests that modern humans may have arrived from further east in Eurasia than in the classic depiction in which Cro-Magnon man passed through Turkey and then into Europe. The excavation took place at Kostenki, a group of more than 20 sites along the Don River that have been under study for many decades. Kostenki previously has yielded anatomically modern human bones and artifacts dating to between 30 and 40,000 years ago, including the oldest firmly dated bone and ivory needles with eyelets that indicate that early inhabitants were tailoring animal furs to help them survive in the harsh climate. The site has also yielded perforated shell ornaments and a carved piece of mammoth ivory that appears to be the head of a small human, which may represent the earliest piece of figurative art in the world. Much more remains to be learned about modern human migration, but Goebel says that the crucial sites will probably be in places like Iran or Afghanistan, where European and US archaeologists have not been able to work for decades. Russian archaeologists have uncovered 2,000-year-old remains of a warrior preserved intact in permafrost in the Altai mountain region. The warrior was blonde and had tattoos across his body. He was wearing a felt coat with sable fur trimmings and was buried in a wooden frame containing drawings of mythical creatures with an ice pick next to him. Local archaeologists believe the man was part of a ruling elite of a local nomadic tribe known as the Pazaryk. Numerous other Pazaryk tombs have been found in the area. This is most definitely a very serious discovery. It's incredibly lucky that the burial was in permafrost, so that it was very well preserved. More can actually be seen on current World Archaeology magazine in the latest issue. Folk may also remember that the Pazaryk people were famous for their carpet, found in a similar tomb. It's the oldest surviving carpet in the world. The site of Castanheiro do Vento, northeast Portugal, has a complex stone architecture and was built from the Chalcolithic to the Bronze Age. This kind of architecture is, in particular, characteristic for the Iberian Peninsula and southern France and has been the object of investigations by several archaeological schools over a number of years. The complex stone architecture, dating from the 3rd to 2nd millenniums BCE, however, is far from conclusive in its interpretation. Groups of archaeologists have entered into ongoing dialogue with many other researchers from around the world. And since 1998, the excavations at Castanheiro do Vento have taken place in a very friendly and open-minded working climate. The work will continue this summer from July the 1st to the 28th, and the ACDR is looking for volunteers. You have to be at least 18 years old, and they will accept people with any real motivation and interest in archaeology, regardless of their level of experience or specialisation. So can I suggest that people get along to www.pasthorizons.com, that's www.pasthorizons.com, and look at the details by selecting Portugal and the relevant site. One of Europe's biggest Neolithic dolmens is among the hidden treasures uncovered in a new documentary series. Hidden Heritage is one of two series about Ireland's environment, sponsored jointly by both governments. Hidden Heritage investigates the hidden archaeological treasures in the less explored border regions of Fermanagh, Newry, Mourne, Armagh, Louth, Cavan and Monaghan. The series also focuses on the hidden treasures that are rarely visited, such as the Clontigora burial chamber and Goward Dolmen, a huge standing stone with mythological associations with the hero Finn McCool. As you drive from Castle Whelan to Newry, there's a sign for the Goward Dolmen. Nobody, however, ever turns off the road to look at it, but at that site it's probably one of the most impressive Neolithic dolmens in Western Europe. So, can I advise you to just get out there and start looking at monuments in your own area, those lesser known ones that can be just as impressive and often more peaceful and enchanting than the better known historic places. Many thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. Please remember that more can be found on the Badger website. That's www.bajr.org. That's from jobs to guidance, calendars of events and directories of contractors and archaeology courses and lots more. Take the time also to have a search of the new Past Horizons site, a gateway to adventure across the world in archaeology. That's www.pasthorizons.com. All the best for 2007, and special wishes to my mother, who, I have to say, has not been very well. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.